believe that one of the reasons that our nation is in the serious, I consider it serious anyway, trouble, both spiritually and morally today, is that there is not enough preaching or teaching in too many of our churches as to scriptural salvation. And a great part of scriptural salvation involves a word we don't hear of very often, and that word is sanctification. Sanctification. According to the scripture, this word sanctification is what begins. Sanctification is what starts in the life of the believer when a new birth takes place. Without the new birth, there can be no sanctification. Impossible. The person has not been born again of the Spirit of the living God, there is no possible way they can live a sanctified life. I'll go a step further. It's hard enough to live a sanctified life when we're sanctified. Or for me, anyway. So do we really understand sanctification? And I think the answer is, in far too many of our churches, we do not understand it. And that is reflected in church membership and church attendance. Most Southern Baptist churches, in their annual report, showed that about one-third to less than one-half of those on the membership rolls attend church regularly. What does that mean? To this preacher, it means many unsanctified lives. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
They think they're saved, but they're not saved. You say, you gotta be careful, preacher, but I'm just talking about the numbers. You can't say that the numbers are lying. The numbers are lying. If the people aren't there, they're not there. Amen? All right. How do we approach this? Well, step number one, I think, would be this. In the child of God's sanctification, if that is truly the beginning of the new life, then, of course, step number two becomes automatic. It is the ongoing progress of becoming conformed more and more closely, being conformed more and more closely to the image of Jesus Christ himself. Amen and amen. The book is full of that example. Therefore, it becomes a lifelong process. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
Step number three, then, completes this work of sanctification when the Christian enters the eternal glory at the time of Jesus Christ's return to earth the second time to gather his people unto himself. Those that were alive at the time, raised up. Those in the grave, resurrected. The Apostle Paul explains clearly in his letter to the church in Rome that the sanctification of his people was planned by God before the foundation of this universe. Turn with me now to the book of Romans and the 8th chapter. I will wait. Chapter 8, the epistle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, beginning with verse 28. And notice the emphasis here. We know. He's talking about the Christian. We know, without a shadow of a doubt, this is a certainty to us. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to their purpose. Know what it says? What does it say?
His purpose.
Say it.
His.
To his purpose. Called by him to accomplish his purpose. Amen? That's pretty plain. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What? What? Conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who did it? God did. He foreknew it. He predestinated it. And the reason he did it was so the believer could be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And to whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Sounds to me like God did it all.
Amen. That's right.
There it is. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, if you've confessed your sin and your need for God in your life, and you trust the work Jesus did on Calvary for you, my friend, you are beginning on a sanctified journey. It's pretty plain and pretty simple and pretty easy to understand. Turn with me now. Well, I read that to you. I'm sorry. Then we need to ask ourselves, if this is what I've just said and read is true, then we need to ask ourselves something. How can we, you and I, how can we be sure that we are truly in the process of scriptural sanctification? Scriptural sanctification. There is only one way. We must have started the process with step one. Well, bear with me, because you know where I'm going. You can't hear this enough. What chapter? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a human being must be born a second time before they can begin to live a sanctified life. Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." It is impossible. Join the church. Be baptized. Pray with the preacher. You must be born a second time. Oh my. That which is born of the flesh. This is so simple, isn't it? Don't you think? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not. Don't be surprised, Nicodemus, that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and what thou hearest from the sound thereof, you can't tell where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. That's the way it is with the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Are you a rabbi? Are you a leader in the synagogue? Are you a representation of me? And you don't know these things?" That's a question that needs to be asked from a lot of preachers today. That's a question that needs to be asked to a lot of church members today. Do you come to church every day and you really don't know this? You've been to Sunday school and they haven't taught you this? You've heard preaching and you've never heard this? Amen? "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we know." Notice that's plural. Why is Jesus saying we? Who's he talking to? Who's he talking for? He's talking for his Father. He's talking for himself as a man here in the human body. He's talking for the Holy Spirit. We. The Trinity. We know. We've done it. Amen. We have accomplished it in the believer. But told you earthly things and you believe not, how in the world shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Boy, this is part of theology, isn't it? And Moses, as Moses was lifted up the serpent, the brass serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was nailed to a cross and lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Should be able to begin a sanctified life. That's what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, we've heard that over and over. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he murdered somebody? No. Because he lies and cheats? No. Because that paper doesn't write? No. Because he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God. That's why. Pretty plain. And this is the condemnation, my friends, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that he is a Baptist. Oh no. That it may be manifest that he is a great preacher. No. Why? That what he does, all that he does, everything that he does is wrought in God. What does that mean? It means that the world will know God has done it through him. You believe that? How many believe that? I'll tell you what, I wish more did. I wish more did. That's the only way you can get started with this process called sanctification. Listen now to the Lord Jesus' prayer to his Father in this same book, John, Chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer. John 17. I just want you to listen to, I'm going to read quite a bit. Bear with me this morning. Beginning with verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Just as he was telling Nicodemus earlier. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that they came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray not for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine. Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, and neither in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, how? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. Sanctify them. How? Through thy word. Are you listening? Through thy word. We are being sanctified as we grow, as the very word of God brings us closer and closer and closer to what? To conforming to the image of Jesus
Christ.
That's kindergarten stuff. That's primary stuff, folks. Primary stuff. This then is how we are going to be sanctified. First, we must be born again. By studying, by reading, and by meditating on this book. By attending faithfully the gathering together with the body of Jesus Christ, the church. By attending your church's worship and prayer meetings faithfully, by supporting the various mission endeavors of your church with your tithes and offerings, by praying for your pastors and church leadership, and by discovering and applying the truth found in this holy book to your daily life. Historical truths, spiritual truths, and sanctifying truths, all found in this book. Plus, faithful adherence to what you learn you see it's a learning experience. I'm 84 years old. I'm still learning. You know when you quit learning? When God takes you home. It's called graduation day. That's true. That is, my friends, true Christian sanctification. It is not having your name on a church roll. It is not the fact you've been baptized. It is not that you are a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or any other denomination. It's that you have been born again, that you are a new person in Christ Jesus, that you are being sanctified and growing and learning and advancing in God's truth until he takes you home. That's what it is. Listen again as Jesus concludes his prayer on that vital thing. Sanctify them through your word. Sanctification goes part and parcel with scriptural salvation. Some of the results of scriptural sanctification can be found in the comparison of most church membership roles, as I said earlier. I won't repeat all that. But numbers are not important to our Father, which is in heaven. Souls are. Do you hear me? God is not interested in numbers. God did not die on Calvary's cross when he came as a man and went through all that suffering for numbers. He went through it for individual souls. It's time we realize that. I believe if we did and we began seeing adult Christians involved in the life of our nation, we would see a great revival. God can save our country. The Old Testament records the results when God's people ignore his word. The New Testament epistles record the ease in which the church forgets its responsibility to a lost and dying world. It's all there. The things we should do and the things we must not do. It's all there in the book. The decline of the true Christian influence in our nation today is a startling sign of the extreme importance of scriptural sanctification. The members of the true church and the impact a lack of impact on today's society. I believe a revival of the message of and the application of scriptural salvation would be at least one step to a revival in our nation. Desperately, desperately, desperately needed in the day in which we live. Do you think? I wonder if we think so. Jesus says in his prayer to his Father, "Thy word, sanctify thy word." The lost people of this world will never believe God's word if the sanctified people never share it with them. Who else can? Who else can share God's word but the sanctified that are experiencing it, that are growing in it, that are learning more and more about it all the time, that are practicing it? How about the faith that Jude reminded the early church to earnestly contend for in his epistle? The faith once delivered unto the saints. What was the faith once delivered unto the saints? New birth, life of sanctification, being conformed to the image of the Savior. Again, I repeat, there is no salvation until there has been a new birth. God's people must begin growing and going. The University of Sanctification begins, as Romans chapter 8 informs us, when we begin our new life. conforming to the image of God's only begotten Son. Our graduation from the University of Sanctification ends with these words found in 1 John chapter 3. We will conclude with this. You've been patient this morning. 1 John chapter 3. I begin with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will then be completely conformed to his image. Amen. So my question to you, beloved, this morning is a very serious question.